You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Stevie Nicol here with you in the studio. And what a big day it's been with the World Cup draw being made in Doha. We've got all the groups for you and we are going to be breaking them down ahead of the big event taking place in November and December. So this is what we're looking at. Some saying, Stevie, it's very balanced across the board. Mm. There are a few groups that stick out, but you could argue there's not really a group of death that really stands out and grabs your attention.
I'm going to disagree. I think Group H is going to be the so-called group of death. Because every single one of them, in my opinion, there's nothing between them all.
Well, we will get to Group H as we go along. But right now, let's take a closer look at Group A, because that's a host Qatar. The opening game will be Qatar against Ecuador. Senegal, the AFCON champions, and the Netherlands are also in there, the highest side in the FIFA rankings in Group A. But let's take it to Group B, shall we? Very interesting, particularly on this show, because it's England and the United States in the same group, and potentially Scotland,
what do you
Wales,
mean potentially?
Or of Ukraine. Well, listen, we've got to give the others a chance too. Awesome. Iran are in there as well, and let's not forget their FIFA ranking is not too bad at 21. Well, we did mention that we've got Gab Marcotti and Alexis Nunes in Doha for us this week. Alexis managed to catch up with US coach Greg Berhalter to get his reaction to this draw.
All right, Greg, congratulations first for qualification.
Thank you.
I know it came recently.
Yes.
Initial thoughts on the group?
It's exciting. Anytime you get to play England in a World Cup as a starting point, that's a really exciting matchup. With their history and their fans and the atmosphere in the stadium, it's going to be a great matchup. And then when you think about Iran, who was the first Asian team to qualify, very difficult team, high-scoring team, and it will be a difficult game. And then the third opponent right now is unknown, but you're pulling from three good opponents in Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine.
And with that said, any one of those that you probably are wary of, you want to avoid, or maybe even just relish the challenge?
Yeah, at this stage, we're ready to play anybody. The group has grown tremendously over this last 3 years. It's still a young team, but I think the way that the group has been embracing challenges, we'll deal with anyone that comes our way.
And I know you mentioned the England matchup, of course. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at social media, but the memes have started. Mm-hmm. The soccer versus football has started. Is this the kind of challenge that you want earlier on in the World Cup? Because you kind of learn from these challenges early on.
Absolutely. If you can prepare and play well and potentially get a result against England, it gives you the confidence that you can move on and do well. And so, that's going to be a big game. There's going to be a lot of attention around that game. I'm thankful it's the second game because we're already being stride, and it's not like, we're getting hit with that game in the first one. But, we're certainly looking forward to that matchup.
As are we, as we now welcome in Gab Marcotti, Hercules Gomez and Ian Dark as well. Herc, I've got to start with you. You were there in 2010 when England and USA were in the same group, and the USA topped that group with both sides progressing. Can they do it again?
Well, if Robert Green's in goal, that would certainly help. I still remember before this game, the tabloids that it read easy. It was England, it was Algeria, it was Slovenia, and then it was Yanks. That's what the tabloid said, and that's locker room material. Regardless where it came from, it seems to be the mindset of a lot of English fans, the mindset of a lot of the English press, the British press, that this will be a cakewalk for them. And it may be, because line for line, they're a better team. They're a more talented team than anybody in the group. That's undeniable. But this young team is, for the U.S. men's national team, they're naive in a good way. They're naive in a good way where on their day, with the transition type of football they play, they can definitely surprise. But listen, Greg's talking about the second game right there versus England. I'd focus on the first game because regardless of who it is, if you don't get a favorable result in that first game, heading into that second game, needing something from England, that's going to be an uphill battle for them.
Yeah, that second game, England-USA, the day after Thanksgiving, could be quite an occasion, as was the 2010 World Cup, Ian. Very memorable. Your call, go, go, USA. Is this a side that you can see causing excitement and getting good results in this group again this year?
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this American team still in England, because I've heard pundits since the draw was made already saying, well, we know the USA are an energetic, strong team and they always fight hard. Well, that was kind of like the old USA. This is a new USA. They've got this fearlessness of youth. They've got a lot of players who've got Champions League experience. And I think they'll bring that fearlessness to the competition. I think they'll get a lot of people talking about themselves. I'm not sure they can beat England, but we've said that before. They topped the group, as you said, in 2010 ahead of England. You're never quite sure what you're going to get with England, although they've done well in recent tournaments. I think the USA can go well, and I think they've got a realistic chance of getting through to the knockout stages.
Gab, is this a matchup that's caused excitement out there in Doha, England and USA?
Yeah, I mean, one of many. I mean, I don't think people here particularly get that worked up when you've got Spain against Germany as well to come in the opening round. But there's certainly a lot of nuance to it. And I also think it's a mistake to make this whole group about England and the United States. And I'm sure Greg Berhalter and Gary Southgate aren't doing that because of what we heard from him, you know, his praise for Iran, who have had some ups and downs, but, you know, can also take points off you. And also, let's not forget that other UEFA playoff team. England don't do psychodramas very well. And if they're in there against the old enemy, Scotland, who they couldn't beat at the Euros, if they're in there against Wales with Gareth Bale donning his Superman cape, or if they're in there against Ukraine, who, let's face it, most neutrals will be backing, you could be in an untidy spot there. So I think it's potentially an added layer of pressure.
Has that just given Stevie Scotland even more incentive to try and get here?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that England can't do is look at the group, look at the names, and think that they're just going to turn up and play, because every single one of those teams can cause England problems. And the USA, I kind of think of the USA as a different team today. The USA that's done well previously has done well because of its physicality, defending for your life and doing teams on the break. I don't think this USA team can do that, but they have players with ability that if they're all on their game on the day, they can beat anybody by playing football. So listen, if England take their eye off the ball, then they can get caught out, that's for sure.
Well, Alexis caught up with Jürgen Klinsmann as well while she's out there in Doha. Let's see what he had to say about this draw.
We just spoke to Greg Berhalter, and he was saying that, you know, even though the likes of England are in this one, and of course we're still waiting to see who else completes the group, that the US are actually excited about this group instead of kind of wary of the likes of England. Is that how they should approach it?
Definitely, that's how they should approach it. I think Greg is right. I mean, you face England, and that's huge, obviously. And you have nothing to lose. You know? And then in the other games, you need to kind of collect your points, you need to be on top of it, and you have definitely a good chance to go through it. It's a tricky one as well, absolutely, because Iran is played a very good qualifying campaign. I saw them also in the Arab Cup, I saw them in some qualifiers. It's a very gifted team. Then we don't know who will be the team then coming out of the last playoff, basically, if it's Scotland, Wales or Ukraine. So we got to wait for that. But even if you just imagine it's Scotland or Wales, then you have a real battle in front of you. But it's doable. It's definitely doable. I think, you know, they should be optimistic. They should be full of energy and confidence. And a World Cup is about figure out a way to get through the group stage, be in the top two. And then take it from there, you know, with the knockout stage. So absolutely, they should be happy about it.
And a lot of people are excited about this U.S. team because it's a lot of young, exciting players that have been playing their trade around Europe. Do you see their chances as very good to probably go deeper into this tournament than they have been before?
Yeah, that's what we all hope because they have so much talent. I mean, when did we ever have 5, 6, 7 players playing in Champions League teams in Europe? I mean, you can name them all, and it's their moment to shine. shine. Really their moment to shine. They have enough experience already. It's not that it's a team of youngsters. I mean, they are in 23, 24, 25. They have a good age, and there's a bit of experience as well from a couple of other players. So it's the moment. It's the moment to take. Obviously, the big disappointment not going to Russia is still there. But now they can really make a huge difference if they go for it, if they are courageous, if they are confident, if they prove the qualities they have in their club teams, like they show already, you know, week in, week out, when we follow them, then I'm really optimistic that they go in the next group.
Yeah, let's just pick up on that optimism then, if we can, Herc. And going back to what Ian said about this being a side that are full of more talent than perhaps some would know, do you think they will cause a few surprises in this group?
I do, because they've got very talented individual players, and I agree with Ian very much. This isn't your U.S. men's national team of old. It's not the fight, the spirit. It's not the physicality. It's not the run you into the ground, try to defend and go in transition. They've got some very interesting players, especially in 1v1 situations. They've got very good players, and that's not just the offensive wingers, not just the offensive players. Even their right back, Sergiño Dest, I mean, he's playing his play to Barcelona. He's a player that loves to go forward. And Greg Berhalter, I think, likes to tinker and have his team press and have his team be on the front foot. So they can cause a bit of trouble for most teams, and that's a favorable cross. I mean, if you end up getting out of the group, the prospects of a Netherlands or of a Qatar in the next round is very favorable. But you heard Gab talk about the added pressure for England. If it's a Scotland, if it's a Wales, that British pressure right there against the Yanks. Well, that kind of goes as well with the U.S. men's national team. Not just the fact that, I mean, if you look at this roster, 20 of them got their debut this cycle on the U.S. men's national team. So they're a very inexperienced group. And also Greg Berhalter himself is very inexperienced. Now, these players may play Champions League, and they may have that experience going for them. But Greg Berhalter came from Major League Soccer and the Columbus Crew, so he's still learning how to navigate this. They have yet to really play somebody. They played Switzerland in the beginning of the pandemic in Europe. They lost that game 2-1. They've already played Wales, be it an alternate squad, no Gareth Bale, and they tied 0-0, so they've yet to play anybody. But it's them playing against a lot of their heroes in this English team with some very good players like Harry Kane, some very good players like Mason Mount, Phil Foden, Raheem Sterling. And then on the other side of that, geopolitical kind of aspect to the Iran game, which will be looming. And then Gab said it, if Ukraine comes in this, nobody's going to want to face the darlings of what will be this World Cup. Every neutral will be pulling for him. So there's that aspect of the pressure that can play against the U.S. men's national team as well.
Gab, let's talk about finishing second in the group as well, because I don't want to give it so much as my prediction, but many are expecting the winner of Group A to be the Netherlands, maybe Senegal. That's who it would be if you're finishing second in this group in the last 16. So finishing top could be pretty important, right?
I see somebody's counting eggs before they hatch again.
Of course.
Yes. obviously. The one thing I would always caution, again, you know, we talk about scenarios and so on. The World Cup is 7 months away, and so many of these players could be in a completely different place right now, you know, in terms of performance, in terms of who's on a high. Obviously, both Holland and Senegal are teams that, you know, you want to avoid, and that can make a difference. Equally, if it's England that finishes second, you're still England. You're still coming off a World Cup semi-final and a Euro final. You would still expect to be the favorites or against either one of them. If you're the U.S., it's a different proposition. But that's when, if it is the U.S., when Berhalter, you know, needs to get smart, needs to exploit the weaknesses, needs to come through things and see, all right, what's had success against these teams before. As we heard, he likes to tinker, he likes to adjust to the opposition, and he likes to go and engage them. And I think that's what you need to do if you're going to go far in this World Cup.
And when we're talking about favourites, England have actually moved up with the odds makers. They're actually pretty much even, as you can see there, with France, who were before second favourites behind Brazil. What do you think of them making this jump up here, Ian? Does that put the pressure on them?
It didn't ought to be. I think Gareth Southgate, one thing he's been very good at is well, there will be an expectation. Well, he's even come out and said this week, of course, he's always asked, can England win the World Cup? He said, well, yes, of course we can. But I think he's been very good at keeping the players pretty grounded. There aren't too many egos around that squad. That's been one of the secrets, really, of why they did so well at the last World Cup and in the European Championships. It's just a question, I think, of whether they can make that final step. The way I look at it, really, you could price up maybe 6-7 teams there who've all got about an equal chance of winning this World Cup. And it may be just the way it breaks on the day and in certain matches and certain groups. And Gab's right. You can't really start counting any chickens here. There are going to be surprises. There are going to be upsets. We've seen it before with champions being beaten in the opening game in massive shocks, like, you know, Argentina being turned over by Cameroon. You want to go back to 1990, France getting turned over when they were champions in 2002. That kind of thing is going to happen at this World Cup. So we can sit here and try to be big experts, but the great glory of it all is it's the World Cup and there will be surprises along the way. But if you're asking me, I think England will top the group. I think they will do pretty well in the tournament, but will they win it? Who knows?
Are the bookies getting carried away, do you think, Stevie? And is that a bad thing for England to now put them at second favourites, joint second favourites, albeit, but still?
I actually agree with Darkie that this England team right now doesn't seem to take any notice of what the press says, which is not the case. In the past, the press not only were all over the England side, but in a negative way completely. And it clearly affected the England team and the squad. This side seems to just float along and get things done. You don't get to finals and semi-finals of major tournaments unless you've got a real strong mentality. Don't let what's going on outside affect you on the field. And that's what this England side does. So I absolutely think England are going to top this group comfortably because they are the best side by quite a distance. And the mentality of the players and the manager is absolutely spot on.
Look at Stevie the Scot putting all the pressure on England and hoping that's the way it's going to go. Let's move on to talk about Group C, shall we? Because Argentina and Mexico have both been drawn in the same group there alongside Saudi Arabia and Poland, who won their playoff to get there. As for Argentina, Gab, what do you think? Are they happy with this group?
I think they're okay with the group. I mean, they've been on this incredible run, kind of, you know, a run that started with very low expectations, obviously, after the World Cup in São Paulo. Lionel Scaloni's got them on this win streak. Probably the best thing that could happen to them is if they lose to Brazil in the makeup game that they have to make in the CONMEBOL qualifying, so that, you know, there's no more talk of streaks or whatever. You can just get on with the football. I think they're going to be pleased with it. Lionel Messi is now an important part of the team, but he's not the whole team. The team is not based entirely around him. And I think that's given them other weapons. And they found players at the back and in midfield who I think are big contributors as well.
Herc, do Mexico get out of this group, if you were to guess?
I think they do. You have to realize that Mexico's a very good team in the World Cup at getting out of the group stage. It's them and Brazil that have gotten out the last seven goes in the World Cup. So they're very good at getting there. They're very good at getting out. It's that infamous fifth game, el quinto partido, that keeps eluding them. But Mexico's a very good team come group phase. And the key matchup will be against Poland, obviously. They keep getting locked in World Cup horns with Argentina. It's not gone their way, 0-3. Messi's got a very good record against Mexico. But it'll be what they can do against Robert Lewandowski and this Polish team that determines if they go on to the next round and how they factor in. But if we're talking about quinto partido, I mean, the possibility of, if you get out, having to face Denmark or having to face France, I think they're going to miss out again on the quinto partido.
Well, Herc, it's been great to have you with us. Thanks so much for giving us your insight into what we've seen in the World Cup draw today. Don't forget to make sure to subscribe, actually, to our YouTube page, because Extra Time is there every single day. On today's edition, we've got Archie, Stevie and Frank answering your questions. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Let's take a look at how the defending champions will be faring in their group. France In Group D, alongside whoever wins in the playoff there, Australia, UAE or Peru, Denmark and Tunisia. As we now welcome in Frank Leboeuf, Gab is still with us. Frank, how are you feeling about Group D and France's chances?
With all due respect to all the opponents of France, I feel comfortable, I would say. You know, it should be not easy, but it should be easily doable. Denmark, as almost always in the World Cup, we have to confront them. It was the case in 2018. It was the case in 98 as well, and 2002, I think. And it's funny because the Group C of France in Russia is almost the Group D that we're going to see in Qatar, because Denmark was already there, Australia, Peru possibly is going to be there as well. And so we all know our opponents, except maybe Tunisia, who is kind of a neighbor for us, but kind of a mystery for myself. But I have to say that overall, we are happy with the draw.
You're happy with it. Tell me then, how important is the group? You're the only World Cup winner on the show. How important is the group when it comes to the World Cup? Whether it's easy, whether it's seen as tough, whether it's perceived that way?
Well, I think it's important to get into the event, and even if it's an easy group, you prepare yourself for more difficult events and games. And it was the case for us when we in 98 we played South Africa, then the second game we played Saudi Arabia, and we finished the last game against Denmark, which was maybe the toughest one. But it prepared ourselves for the last 16. And you know, I'm not against, and I know we talked with German yesterday about the fact that it's nice to have an easy group. No, to have a tough group, sorry. I'm good with an easy group because, again, you prepare for the event and you prepare the group for a future which can be more difficult.
Denmark's the second game for France here in the group's Gab. Who could be a problem for France out of what you've seen in this group?
Well, I mean, obviously you're going to take Denmark seriously. They had their run at the Euros. Talk about fairy tale and everybody rooting for everybody. I think everybody's going to jump on the Christian Eriksen bandwagon. He talked about this being a dream, being back at the World Cup. You know, this is a game of emotions. This comes into it. Tunisia, I think, are probably the weakest of the African sides who reached the World Cup. Obviously, I did not expect them to advance through the playoffs, and you know, they weren't necessarily great in the African Cup of Nations either. Maybe the threat comes from whoever qualifies out of UAE, Australia, and possibly Peru. And the reason I bring up Peru is that, you know, Ricardo Gareca's got that kind of magic that he seems to be able to whip out and trip people up at certain occasions. So I don't think you look past Peru, but on paper, it's certainly Denmark and France.
Stevie, we were talking yesterday and there was a big debate about it as to whether an easier group or a tougher group is the best thing to have. Where do you stand on it?
Come on, who says a tough group's a good start?
Well, we defined it as the younger generation say a tougher group, but the older generation say...
Absolutely not. Listen, you always talk about building into a tournament. And when you're building into a tournament, that means that when you get out the blocks, you're not at your very best. And so if you've got a group that you should win comfortably, then you don't have to be at your very best.
But then have you not been tested? Have you not been tested to your very best?
The one thing you want to do is win games. Regardless of how you play, if you keep winning games, you're going into the next game, and all the thing in your head is, we're not going to lose. We've just won. We've won again. We're through the group. We've won the group. I don't care who we're playing. That's the sort of attitude that builds up when you're winning games. So you don't want to start off with a loss against a good side, because then all the questions start. Oh, are we good enough? Then you've got teams like England and France, the press will get after them all. You're getting carried away, you know, you're taking your eye off the ball. You don't want any of that nonsense. You want to win your group comfortably and then go into the knockout stages without a whimper, without any even saying a word. Well, you're supposed to be there. You're a good team and you've got there. That's all you want. You don't want this playing against Germany's and Portugal's and all this nonsense. Absolutely not. Anybody that wants the tough group needs to take a rain check, if you ask me.
Well, like we were saying yesterday, you do have to beat the best teams to win the World Cup in the end. Is there a danger with an easier group, Frank, that complacency could set in?
No, I'm 100% with Stevie. You know what you want? You want to, after two games, you want your 6 points to be allowed to play the B team, to rest the A team, and to face the last 16 in the best fitness that you can. You don't care. You're not there to beat the best team. You're there to win the World Cup. The opponent doesn't matter. And if it's only, and you play like 7 easy games and win the World Cup, you're champion of the world and you don't care about other people, what other people think. That's good for media. They can say, they haven't been tested. Who cares? They want it. That's the only important thing. In football, you just want to win games, and it's kind of a lottery, and you don't care who you play against. You just want to win games, and that's it.
Frank, I would like to tell you that you guys are no longer second favourites solely with the bookmakers. So Brazil were favourites, France were second favourites, but now England are sharing that spot with you. What do you think of them jumping up to the same chances as you guys?
Well, I want to wish good luck to England, and I definitely think it's a very good team. And I guess the company who made the odds is a British or English company who made sure that there is some interest. So I don't know what to think about it, and I think people could laugh about that. And this is always due respect to England, but no respect for the odds and the company who made it, because I'm pretty sure that England knows that they don't deserve to be in the second position. And it's not because France is third. France would have been eighth and England would have been second. I would have said the same. I think you have other teams. When I see Argentina winning the tournament like a year ago, being after England, it's beyond me. I don't understand.
That sounds to me like someone who's scared of potentially facing England in the quarterfinals. Anyway, here's Group E, the one that Stevie mentioned at the top of the show. We've got Spain and Germany in the same group. Gab said as well, this is a difficult one. We'll wait to see if it's Costa Rica or New Zealand joining them and Japan making up the group too. While Alexis was talking to Jürgen Klinsmann, she got his thoughts on Germany's chances.
All right, Jürgen, so you've got Spain, Germany, Japan, or New Zealand or Costa Rica, we're waiting for that one. As a German, how are you feeling about this group? Could be tricky?
It could be tricky, yeah. I mean, it's overall it's okay because there are no easy games, there's no easy team to play. But I think Germany has a lot of respect for Spain. There's a bit of a history, with Spain. So that's maybe not the best thing to get to draw right away. And then Japan is tricky. Japan has a very, very good team since years. They kind of improved kind of tournament by tournament. They had a tremendous good World Cup actually in Russia. And they are fully established in Asia since decades now. And it's definitely a game where you might be, kind of play to a draw. And then you play either New Zealand or Costa Rica, which is a bit the unknown and from a German perspective, where you got to be attentive as well. So overall, a tricky group. It's doable, obviously. And if you have the German approach, then you have to say, okay, if we figure out a way to be in the top two, somehow we get the points and then we shoot for the title. That's what the people expect.
And then just looking, of course, at all the reaction on social media, everyone's kind of salivating at Luis Enrique up against Hansi Flick. They're just saying that these are two tactical geniuses that can go up against each other. This is a match that's almost worthy of a final, too.
Yeah, and it's cool. I think it's cool because you get both teams right away from their best side. They have to be right on top of their game. Already in the group stage, and anything can happen. I mean, also Spain, it's not that they underestimate Germany, it's not that they don't have a lot of respect for them. The same with the German approach. Tactically, I think it's two teams that they will go at each other. I don't think that's too much of a tactical kind of master plan involved in that. It's two teams that are technically very, very good. Very good young players in both sides. And then sooner or later, they will push for a winning goal. So hopefully we see a very entertaining game.
Let's now welcome in Archie Rintutt as we talk about what the reaction's been in Germany to this draw, Archie.
Well, usually when it comes to international tournaments in Germany, they're quite brash, they're quite confident. But I think that the way that the last two international tournaments have gone for them, particularly that World Cup in 2018, it's knocked the confidence out of them a little bit. So when you listen to Bastian Schweinsteiger on local TV here talking about the draw, there was a little more respect, I'd say, and a touch more humility than in past few years. So, look, after what Spain did to them, as Jürgen was saying there, that 6-0 win in the Nations League, that was a real embarrassment for Germany. And, of course, they are going to want to win that game a little bit more than the others because of the revenge element there. But also, I think that there is a quiet confidence, shall we say, building. That I mentioned there about what those last tournaments did, but the way that Hansi Flick has rebuilt steadily so far and has made the adjustments that many had called for many years and is an attacking coach, I think there is some quiet excitement from a German perspective, but they're not getting too carried away.
All right, well, Gab, at the top of the show, you did mention how this is a group that's caught the eye, the fact that Spain and Germany are both in it. What was the reaction over in Qatar to this group?
Obviously, in the draw hall, there's a lot of oohing and aahing when Germany got drawn in there. I mean, to be honest, the fact that Germany weren't a top seed, you know, wherever they would have been drawn in, that would have been a big deal because obviously we're not used to seeing that. But I think there's also realization that, again, on paper at least, relative to the other teams in the group, the expectation of most is that these two will meet and they'll go through and maybe they'll meet again down the road.
Stevie, what are your thoughts on this group E here?
I'm with Gab. I think this looks pretty clear. It just depends on the outcome of the Spain-Germany game. I don't see Japan or Costa Rica or New Zealand causing any real problems for any of the two big teams.
That Spain-Germany game is the second game, and it does it make a difference where the games come? Would they rather have that one as the last one?
I would have thought it would have been better to have it as the last one. You don't want to be going into a last game against, you know, somebody who could potentially win the tournament having to win the game. So, yeah, you would prefer to have it last. But, listen, you win the first one, which I think both sides will, and then you're going into this game with 3 points already. And from there, you figure out your tactics. You know, do you go all out and try and win the game? Do you keep it tight? Do you settle for a draw? You know, you get that first 3 points on the table, and then you can think about how you go about trying to beat Spain or Germany, whichever way around you look.
Well, let's round out the groups then, shall we, with Group F and Group G and Group H as we continue to talk about the draw that we did see today. This is Group F, Belgium, Canada, this is where they'll be, Morocco and Croatia. Obviously, Croatia did very well in 2018. Take it through to Group G. That's where the favourites are, with Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland and Cameroon. And then many wondering about Cristiano Ronaldo, talking about it potentially being his final World Cup. You never know with that guy. Group H, Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay and South Korea. You're unsure here, Stevie.
I couldn't pick a winner out of this lot. Any one of these four could top the group. Listen, South Korea beat Germany in the last World Cup 2-0. So you can't discount them. Who wants to play against Uruguay? Nobody wants to play against Uruguay because they can either outplay you or they can beat you up physically and wear you down with all the tricks and everything else. I mean, Portugal, if you look at the history books, Portugal stands out. Problem is, Portugal crawled into this World Cup. They were lucky to get past Turkey, and then they were lucky to get North Macedonia at home to qualify. So, yeah, Ghana. Do you want to play Ghana? No thanks. I'm sorry. I don't think anybody can confidently pick who's going to top this group and who's going to get out of it.
Yeah, tricks. Ghana know the tricks when it comes to Uruguay in this group particularly. But Gab, I'd just like to get your thoughts on Portugal. Everybody is talking about whether they can go all the way in this tournament with the talent that they've got. What do you think about it?
I think with Portugal, it's an issue of this is undoubtedly a hugely talented side, but do the pieces fit together well? Do they have an overload of talent in certain positions and maybe not enough elsewhere? And as a result, does the coach Fernando Santos too often, you know, get a little too conservative? He wasn't necessarily conservative against Turkey, but it's certainly a side of him that we've seen in the past. It can be frustrating. And I think I agree with Stevie. I think this group is pretty much wide open. I mean, Uruguay, Ghana, part two. If Luis Suarez does anything naughty on the pitch, that's going to be absolutely delicious to watch. And I think this is a pick'em group, in my opinion.
When we were talking about the groups then, you think this is if there is a group of death, it's this one?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Portugal, you know, will, if they don't get through, will clarify this as being the group of death.
All right. Does the draw change your mind at all about who the favourites are in the World Cup, the way that you've seen it's played out?
Not particularly, I'll be honest, because I think there are a couple. Well, for me, there are two sides, Brazil and France. I think they're by far the two best teams in this. And I don't think anybody wants to play either of them. So I don't think, and the way the draw's set up, those sides could meet in the final.
Yep.
You know, you've got a potential England against France in the quarters, but I'd still go for France. So, yeah, I don't think the draw has changed my mind at all. I think the two favourites are Brazil and France.
What about you, Gab? Favourites?
Yeah, I'd add a third. I'd add Spain in there, just simply because I think perhaps out of the big national teams, I think they play the best football, and obviously they have a lot of talent as well. But I think those three probably a step ahead. I would put England just a hair behind them if we were to expand it to four.
Now, there'll be much more talk about the World Cup draw on the next edition of the Gab and Jules podcast that will drop on Monday. Make sure to download it wherever you do get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
La Liga back, Celta taking on Real Madrid and Barcelona against Sevilla. What a game that's set to be on Sunday. We are delighted to have Spanish football back. And in case you do need a reminder, last time out before the international break, in El Clásico, we did see Barcelona stun Real Madrid at their own home and a game that finished 4-0. Ian, let's talk about Real Madrid first, because that was so disappointing from them. They come up against Celta this weekend. They're away from home at Balaidos. They have got to get a result, haven't they?
Yeah, and they've got to rebuild their confidence. They were too bad to be true, frankly, against Barcelona that day. It was a pitiful, pathetic performance. They were ripped limb from limb by Barcelona on the day. It was humiliating, embarrassing. But, they've had a couple of weeks to think about it and work on the training ground. Carlo Ancelotti won't be there. He's tested positive for COVID, so his son will be in charge of the team. And the good news for Real Madrid is they've got Benzema back. How they missed him in that game. And Ferland Mendy, the left back as well. So you'd fancy Real Madrid to get back on track, I think, in that one.
Perhaps for once, an international break after a result like that did them a favour. Barcelona taking on Sevilla, the side that they're chasing down for second spot. They've played a game less than them. They're just 3 points behind them. This looks as though, if the form that we've seen from Barca right now and the form that we've seen from Sevilla before the break, that second spot is there for the taking.
Yeah, I think they can overtake them with a win in this fixture. It's weird, isn't it? Strange the way how quickly Barcelona have rebuilt. And you saw really the confidence coursing through their veins in that performance at the Bernabeu. So they're at home here to a Sevilla side. They've been pretty badly hit by injuries and have drawn a lot of games, and they had that morale-sapping experience going out of their favoured competition, the Europa League, at West Ham United. So although they're going to be tough to break down, they always are. They're always likely to get a draw. But I think Barcelona, they're really on a roll, aren't they, at the moment? And I think with that incentive of moving into second place in the table, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, it is starting to very much look as though that table come the end of the season will be first and second, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Just taking a look at the remaining schedules for both of the sides, starting with these games at the weekend. Yes, it's a double-digit lead and a game more that Real Madrid have played. I know in Spain they say Ay Liga if the league title's still on. Is there absolutely any chance you see Real Madrid throwing this away?
I don't think so. Not really, no. I mean, you look at it and you see that game they've got to play, a Madrid derby, haven't they, before the end of the season. I mean, it could be the way Barcelona are going that they could take maximum points and they'll just sit there and hope that somehow Real Madrid do throw it all away. But it looks impossible for that to happen. I don't see Real throwing it away. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Maybe not too many, though.
Well, they've definitely sent out a message for next season, if anything else, and we look forward to watching all the game play out here this season and, of course, next season on ESPN+. This is the upcoming La Liga schedule that we do have for you. The big one this weekend, though, is Barcelona taking on Sevilla. League football is back this weekend and back with a bang in the Bundesliga. What a tasty offering this is. Dortmund taking on Leipzig Saturday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. But join us at noon because we have a full preview for you. And Archie Rintutt will be at the game for us. He's here with us now, back again on ESPN. Just taking a look at where they are. Borussia Dortmund second in the table. Leipzig in fourth. Yes, many points behind them. But if you look at Leipzig's form this season in 2022, they are not to be scoffed at. All the talk, though, is whether Erling Haaland is going to be available, Archie. What's the latest on that situation?
So the way that Marco Rosa was sounding, the Borussia Dortmund coach, in his press conference, he sounded like there was an off chance, but that he didn't want to risk it necessarily. Whereas if you hear what he was saying from Erling Haaland's perspective, he was saying that, yes, Haaland himself has given an interview to Dortmund's internal media team and saying that, yes, I'm going to be able to make this. I think I'm going to be able to do it. And this is kind of the problem with Erling Haaland, is how well does he know his own body? Because if he does miss this game, it will be the 17th competitive game he's missed for Borussia Dortmund this season. And I think that he needs to accept his body's limits a little bit more, because it's been an ongoing trend that Haaland is able to rush back from injury, and it cost him quite a few games this season. So I think that that's something that for the future, for him to be working on. But also from Borussia Dortmund's point of view, Haaland's injury time this season has not been the only problem. They've had so many injuries. There have been questions from the outside about whether their medical department has been doing everything correctly in terms of the way that the load has been managed, whether the way that they've been training them has been too hard, such as being the amount of muscular injuries. We saw one of their hierarchy, Sebastian Kehl, throwing that back this week, saying that people who are on the outside should know better than to comment on that. But it has been an issue, and it's one thing that Borussia Dortmund are going to have to seriously look at in the summer.
One player we're definitely looking forward to seeing this weekend is Christopher Nkunku, fresh from his debut for the French international team. He's been lighting it up, but has he been getting the credit he deserves in the Bundesliga, Archie? And if not, why not?
He hasn't, Kay. And it's because he plays for RB Leipzig, who do not draw the same attention in the Bundesliga as other teams. Look at that rollover trick. You can see that there is a guy who was inspired by Zinedine Zidane earlier in his career, I guess. And there's one coming up as well that you've got to see this. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, and then here's a sixth keepy up. The guy is insane. And for me,
is better than Erling Haaland right now. Sure, they play in slightly different positions, but he has the full package. And we've seen so far this season that every time there's been a big game, away at Bayern, he coolly slots a one-on-one past Manuel Neuer. Many people would get weak knees at that sight, but he just doesn't care. In the Champions League, he scored against PSG. He got 7 goals in the group stage, and that included a hat-trick away at Manchester City. This guy is on fire. There is nothing that he can't do. And the fact that he's got 2 years left on his deal at RB Leipzig would mean that if he does go this summer, there will be one hefty fee which will be needed to shift him from Leipzig.
Let's talk a little bit about that then, shall we? Because it's not just Bundesliga fans who are going to be looking forward to seeing him. Surely scouts, agents and club bosses are going to be keeping their eye on a player like this if he is going to be on the market this summer.
They will, but Leipzig are keen to not let another key player leave them, or indeed a key figure, because last season, at the end of last season, they ended up losing Deo Upamecano, Julian Nagelsmann, the coach, and their captain, Marcel Sabitzer. So RB Leipzig need to be careful to keep themselves competitive and not be selling on yet another figure. And they need to weigh up how important is it that they get, say, over 100 million for Christopher Nkunku, or is it okay if they were to lose a bit of that and remain competitive next season? They do have an array of quality players, particularly going forward. But Christopher Nkunku has proved to be the cream of the crop and saved their bacon in the first half of the season under Jesse Marsch, who may be here. He's been slated a lot for his time in Germany. He had a bit of an impossible job following on from Julian Nagelsmann. But actually, he did something that Julian Nagelsmann didn't, which is give Christopher Nkunku the freedom to play more in the centre. And that is where Christopher Nkunku, who was Marsch's former neighbour at RB Leipzig, has shone.
Ah, look at Archie. He knows all the gossip from the Bundesliga. But do you know who's going to win this one? What's your prediction, Archie?
Well, going to be interesting how a full stadium back in Dortmund, as it's been across the Bundesliga for the first time in a couple of years now, such as the Corona pandemic, how that impacts Borussia Dortmund, whether that's going to give them a nudge forward. Leipzig under Domenico Tedesco only lost 2 of their last 18 games in excellent form. And that Dortmund defence throughout this season against the top teams has wobbled. So I'm going for a high-scoring draw. 2-2.
Oh, that's high-scoring. Many a defence has wobbled against the next man, Robert Lewandowski. Just taking a look at his stats this season. Games, goals and assists in all competitions. Absolutely stunning stuff from him. His Bayern side are in action. They're away to Freiburg. What can we expect from this game? And are we expecting to see him as well, Archie?
We are. It's just a question of how long we're going to see him for. Those were the words from Bayern coach Julian Nagelsmann in the press conference today, who, amongst other things, revealed that he's become a vegetarian. So lots for him to get his teeth into in this fixture. The fact that Bayern are going up against a Freiburg team who posed big problems to Borussia Dortmund earlier in the season. They beat them by 2-1. And a young defender who you'll be seeing a lot more of in the coming years, Nico Schlotterbeck, who's been very good at centre-back, made appearances for Germany during the international break, made a mistake to give away a penalty, but apart from that, was very strong indeed and kept Erling Haaland quiet during earlier this season. I look at the game as well that Freiburg played away at Borussia Dortmund without him and without their goalkeeper, Mark Flecken, who made his first appearances for the Netherlands during the international break. These are two very important figures for Freiburg. And I think that they are very important in this game in particular to see if they can get anything out of them. Freiburg have been one of the surprise packages. There's a lot of talk in German football about clubs who don't make the most of their resources. Freiburg are the exact opposite of that. They do so much more under their coach, Christian Streich. Julian Nagelsmann spoke of his respect for him for the umpteenth time before this game. Bayern still going to be without Alphonso Davies. This game's going to come a little too soon for him by the looks of it. Looking more ahead to the game against Villarreal in the Champions League. And with regards to the Champions League, Julian Nagelsmann was saying that it's not about protecting players ahead of that. 6 points between them and Borussia Dortmund. They can light the fire under Dortmund ahead of that game against Leipzig with a win. But knowing Borussia Dortmund and the way they work, there'll be pressure either way if Bayern allow them to close the gap. But this is a tricky place to go, Freiburg, and it is, I'd say, the making of a Bundesliga title winner if you're able to win that.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Premier League back at the weekend. Just a little look at who faces who. Liverpool taking on Watford. Burnley will host Manchester City. Before the break, things were heating up in the title race. Stevie Nicol, who's more likely to drop points out of City and Liverpool this weekend?
I hope you're not looking for a long answer here.
Go on then, give me the short answer.
None. There's not a chance.
No?
It's not going to happen.
All right, what? But who's more likely?
Who's more likely?
Yes.
Okay. That's a better way of going at it.
Well, that's what I asked you.
Because it's not happening. Oh, did you? Sorry. I'll listen to you the next day.
That's right.
Listen, if there's any of them got any sort of chance at all, it'll be Burnley.
Right.
Because at their best, they're capable of defending for their lives and stealing some goals and set pieces. As far as Watford at Anfield, not a hope, not a chance. They can't score. They do create some chances, but they don't have anybody to put the ball in the net. And they cannot defend to save their lives. So, if there's anything going to happen, it's going to be at Turf Moor.
That wasn't that short an answer in the end, was it?
Well, wasn't it?
There you go. Big story on Friday has been the World Cup draw. Just to look across some interesting groups there. England taking on USA in Group B. Spain and Germany in the same group in Group E. Stevie thinks it's a very difficult one to call in Group H, where you see Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay and South Korea. But just a reminder that we've had Gab Marcotti and Alexis Nunes in Doha with us for the draw. We're going to go out to them now to see what fans can expect now that they know the groups in Qatar.
Well, okay, I think if we're talking about what fans can expect from coming to Qatar for the World Cup, I would probably say expect a country that mentally is 150% ready for this to happen, but physically, there's still a lot to be done. Like we said, there still is a lot of construction going on, Gab. So much so that you even said it's going to be a race against time to actually have everything maybe as perfect as they would want to welcome the world in November.
No question. I mean, they've got high-end facilities, high-end infrastructure, but obviously that takes time to build. And the other thing to bear in mind is, we say it's a World Cup in Qatar. It's essentially a World Cup in Doha because this is where like 85% of the country is. All stadiums within, I think, the furthest away stadium is 30 miles from Doha. So they're all going to be easily accessible. A lot of them by public transportation. And I think that's going to be a boon to the fans.
And I think, of course, one of the things that fans will have is still these ongoing concerns about the human rights issues and whatnot. And I think one of the things that I've learned this week as well from all of the FIFA videos that we have been shown is that, yes, things have been a bit dark in the past. Yes, there is still a lot of work to be done. But the point is, a lot of work has been done and a lot of improvements have been done thanks to FIFA. So can fans probably rest a bit more assured with that?
I don't know if I'd say thanks to FIFA. I think thanks probably to the spotlight that was shown on Qatar because of the World Cup. Because I think this is a situation that's reflective of the region, but they've worked with a lot of labor unions. They've changed laws. They've improved working conditions. I think the real test, as we've said before, is going to be whether this continues after the big show rolls out of town.
And then when the World Cup was awarded to Qatar, we keep hearing that every World Cup is supposed to be the best World Cup ever. And we keep hearing that. We heard it from Gianni Infantino, who was saying this is going to be the best World Cup ever. If it's one thing that they do over here in the Middle East and in Arabian countries, is they do have a lot of sparkle and shine and make it a big show. How are you feeling about overall what we can expect, though, Gab?
Look, I think it's going to be a World Cup unlike any other. I wrote it as well in my piece. You know, this is a tiny place. We have never seen anything like this. Yep. It's almost like we're in like a bubble here. You know, I don't want to bring back memories of pandemic, but it's a little bit, it's a little bit like that. And we'll see what it's like. They try to push the theme that this is a World Cup for the Arab world, and it is. I think it's important for the region. It's going to be different. And I think certainly very different to 2026, when of course it'll be much bigger, much vaster, and over a much greater area.
So a much smaller city, Kay, a lot of interest in this World Cup, a lot of curious minds wondering what they can expect. But you know what? We've been here for about a week now, and so far we've definitely enjoyed it. Like we said, there's still a lot of work to be done for it to physically be ready for November, but mentally, Qatar is pretty much ready to welcome the world.
And I wonder if Stevie Nicol will be following Scotland out there if they make it, going to Qatar to see them.
Well, I don't know where to get a digital photo for my passport. So if somebody can help me, otherwise I won't be going.
Oh, well, we'll see. If ESPN can help you, maybe they'll send all of us out there.
Could end up at your house watching it.
I wouldn't mind that. You're welcome anytime. Okay. Stick around for extra time. Stevie will be with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Stevie Nicol alongside me in the studio. Frank Leboeuf is back. He couldn't keep away. He loved yesterday so much. And Archie Rintutt is with us too, along for the ride. We're going to be talking World Cup draw and a lot more. Let's start with the World Cup draw. Stevie, which group are you most interested in for the World Cup, and which group is the toughest to get out of? I know you're saying Group H is the toughest to get out of, right?
Well, Group H is the toughest one to figure out.
Okay.
I think with the others, generally, you could, with some sort of certainty, pick out either who's going to win it or who the two qualifiers are going to be. But the one with Portugal, Ghana...
Uruguay. South Korea
is, for me, the hardest one to choose. Obviously, England and Scotland will get through in that group.
That's putting all your eggs in one basket.
I'm not putting any eggs in it.
You're saying Scotland are there?
I'm just telling you. We're already qualified for the last 16.
All right.
You jinxed it now, Stevie. You jinxed it now, mate. It's done.
We're just bringing this... go on then, Archie. What do you reckon?
Okay, so Wales are going to the World Cup. Sorry, Stevie.
Wales.
Right. It's going to be tough. You think you can get past Gareth Bale?
Don't worry, we'll sort Gareth Bale out before the game.
He paused then, didn't he, Archie? I think he's a bit worried. It was all bravado earlier.
The fear.
Yeah. McTominay will sort him out, don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right, Archie. which group's interested you?
I like the look of Group H as well, because of how open that is. And particularly as well to see how the likes of Serbia and Cameroon might get on against Brazil. Brazil have looked so hot in qualifying that I think them along with France are going to be, they are undoubtedly the favourites. I wonder with England, I've already seen headlines back home stating how easy this draw is. And that's not the way to approach things, guys. That's not the way to approach things.
Charlie. Don't give me that nonsense. Don't give me that nonsense about, I wonder about England. Give me a break.
Listen, Sammy.
USA, Iran and Scotland. Are you serious? They could put half a team out and win that group. The US are like a bunch of kids.
You think?
England against the USA is going to be men against boys. Scotland are not even close to where England are.
And Iran yeah, could and be and that's Iran could be a little bit.
We've established
and Iran,
that.
No, geez,
Charlie.
If ever there's been a double bluff, Charlie. Where'd I got Charlie from?
I don't know.
Sorry, Alfie. It's either Charlie, it's Alfie as well. You know,
I've no idea where I got Charlie from.
It's been a while. It's been a while. In all seriousness, you do need to give it a little. There is a little bit of respect to be given to the other teams in the group. I mean, it's not clear yet if Iran are going to be in that group because of the FIFA-lodged investigation which is going on there. So would be interesting to see what would happen should Iran get pulled out of the World Cup.
Well, unless they're going to switch Brazil in there, then I don't think it'll make much difference.
All right. Well, listen, one thing we know is that Frank's team, France, have got the easiest group in Group D, Frank.
What? No, the England has the easiest group, and I tell you, if England or France don't go on out of that those group, it means that they don't deserve to go in the World Cup, really. For me, the toughest one is the Spain and German one, because we all forget, or some of us have forgotten, Costa Rica. I think Costa Rica, with Navas and the game they played against United States, showed me that they have some talents and they can trouble Spain or Germany. So for me, it's the toughest group.
All right. Archie, who do you think will be the top scorer in this year's World Cup?
To slightly misquote Hansen's hit from 1997, Mbappe.
Mbappe. Yeah. You going for Mbappe as well?
Yeah, tough. It's tough not to. Listen, I think France are going to go far. And so that's why you have to go with Mbappe. No question.
Frank?
Mbappe or Benzema, but one of the two.
All right. Stevie, would you rather Liverpool win the Premier League this year or Scotland qualify for the World Cup? They haven't qualified yet, just to let you know.
Well, I'd rather Liverpool win the Premier League.
But then that means that Scotland don't qualify?
Listen, we've done well. Stevie Clark's done well to get us into the Euros previously. And if we get in the World Cup, you know, are we going to even qualify through the group stages? I'm not so sure. Or the other choice is Liverpool winning the Premier League. Seriously? Easy peasy.
Club over country. All right, question for Frank. Will the World Cup holders fail to get out of the group stages just like the past three champions?
I don't think that's going to be the case, because I think the group
is... Because it's an easy group.
It's quite easy. That's an easy group. But it's true, that's a danger, because as you just said, three times or four times, you know, no winners or holders have been getting out of the group stages. So, but I'm very confident about the group. I think it's going to be between France and Denmark. But I have no doubt that France will do the job against the others.
Yet France will stop the curse. Archie, which Premier League club would be best for Jude Bellingham if he is to leave in the summer?
Ooh.
Okay, so not Manchester United, because I don't think that's a good environment for, I would say, many, if any, players right now with what's been going on there. I think that Liverpool would be a good place for him. But I think he could still do with another season at Borussia Dortmund, just to grow a little bit more. You might have seen there was a video from their game against Rangers a few weeks ago where he was mouthing off against his own teammate Nico Schultz and berating how bad he was. And whilst that was swept under the carpet, I think that there's still some growth for him to be doing at Dortmund. And I think he is an exceptional player, and excited to see tomorrow for the first time him playing in front of a full stadium in Borussia Dortmund. He's not had that chance yet, so that's also going to be something to see in terms of his development. But you said which Premier League club? I think Liverpool is the first.
can't believe you didn't say Fulham going off and it will be Fulham for Jude Bellingham. Surely that would be your dream.
I don't think even Jude Bellingham will be able to keep us up next season.
All right, see. Very honest. A question for Archer Stevie. Stevie, I'll come to you. In the 80s, when the English teams received a five-year ban from European football and teams from Romania, Portugal, Yugoslavia, Netherlands, France, Milan twice winning in the era, how many Champions League would Liverpool have won in those years of absence? So how many Champions League do you think they would have won during that ban if they were allowed to play?
Well, you can't... I mean, I can't turn around and say they would have won... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. All I would say is that certainly the side that we had, 87, 88 and 88, 89, would have had a chance to win the Champions League. You know, Barnsley, Beardsley, Hansen, you know. Grobler was a great goalkeeper. People always remember all the antics, but Bruce was a great goalkeeper. Whelan, McMahon, Ray Houghton. I mean, we had a genuine team, proper team. So we would have competed, no question.
All right, last question. What, people are sending in questions for me now. This is starting to become a thing, isn't it? All right. For Kay.
We don't have to answer it if you don't want.
True. How do you feel about Group B from an England fan's perspective? Do you find it easy, as some other fans have said, like Frank? Dan Thomas has actually said easy for this group.
I think he was taking the mickey.
I think so too. I think he was taking the mickey out of that headline that Herc was posting earlier on Twitter.
So you're going to join the rest of your English mates?
I...
Give it the older. Oh, it's not as easy in paper.
But I mean it. I mean it. I have never really had a wonderful time watching England in
major tournaments. Well, you've just got into
major tournaments.
The final and the semi-final of the last two major tournaments.
Jeez.
And you're still not giving it that.
No.
I've never had a worry over the last 4 or 5 years.
I'm usually very optimistic, but I'm not going to get too excited just yet. Tell me, Frank.
Kay, can I ask you a question? Who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of Iran? Really? Are you afraid of Scotland, Wales, or the other? I don't know which is going to be
Ukraine.
The last one, possibly. Ukraine? And are you afraid of USA, who couldn't, I think, win a game away from home? And who is a very, very young team? You're England. You're the almighty England. Second favourite of the World Cup. And you're telling me you have doubt that England can get out of that Group B?
Come on, Frank. Listen, I'm not saying that I don't think we're going to get out of the group. We're definitely going to get out of the group, in my opinion.
Is.
But it doesn't mean that I think it's going to be plain sailing. And I'm not going to underestimate the USA, because when it comes to the World Cup, everything's different. You can all the form you've seen and the struggle that the teams have to qualify.
Who gets
it's
an
always
England's
different
team?
When they get there.
Who gets an
very
who gets
politically
an
correct.
USA. Who gets an England's team?
I know we can do it that way, but it's I know.
Stevie,
listen,
it's
I'm
not
just
about
not gonna
the other teams.
Archie, back me off.
It's not about the other teams. It's about how England can shoot themselves in the foot. We go
right,
back
when
to
was the
2010.
Last thing? Okay, when
we
was
go
the
back
last
to 2010. Remember Robert Green?
So you've got to go back 12 years. So you've got to go back 12 years. You've just got the semi-final of the World Cups.
World Cup.
You've got the final of the Euros, and you're worried about Iran and Scotland. And the USA, who not one of the players...
Come on, everyone always says England is so arrogant. Can you not praise us for a little bit of humility here?
Hey, you're English.
Yeah, we don't believe
and English
you. That's
don't
the
go.
Thing.
Don't give me that. Don't give me that nonsense.
I do know.
We are in the US network, so we have to be politically correct. So we have to put the USA on the top and England second. So let's go like that.
Well, yeah, I am going for my citizenship this year, so I'm not going to upset too many people.
You could get the three of them. Pick the best team from Iran, Scotland and the US against England and he'd still beat them.
Sounds like Stevie's an England fan for this one, seeing as though Scotland aren't going there.
Listen, it would give me the greatest of pleasure to watch you fall flat on your face.
Me or England?
Anybody. anybody concerned with the England team. It would be the greatest of pleasures. Unfortunately, I'm not anticipating that happening.
All right, thanks, Stevie. That will do it for the latest edition of Extra Time. We thank Frank. We thank
Thanks, Charlie.
Stevie, and we thank Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Join us tomorrow. Big football, we can't wait.
Bye-bye, Charlie.
I have no idea where that came from.
Charlie.
Thanks, Derek.
Charlie.